Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And as always, it's nice to be you with, especially here in the month of May, as we warm up for the summer months and get ready for what I hope will be a wonderful year for you, a wonderful summer, and then, you know, maybe a vacation somewhere. You're planning to do that? Whatever you're planning to do, we hope that you have a great time, and we are very pleased that you've decided to start this week with us. And, you know, when it comes to your home and family and finances, we ask that question every week: are you financially fit? And what do we mean by that? We mean, are you making more than you spend? Or I hope you're not spending more than you make. And do you have 6 months of survival funds in your savings account? I want you to add up all of your expenses, everything. Lump them together. Whatever that total is, I want you to put it down. Mark it somewhere where you can look for it. And each month, or as long as it takes, for 6 months, save that amount of money. It's an untouchable in your savings account, not to be touched by you under any circumstances, because that's the survival funds in case something happens, and something always happens. And you will know from that point on that you've got 6 months to get your act together, to find a job, to do whatever you need to do to keep on living. So make sure you do that. I also want you to put aside, not quite as severe, but just as important, 3 months of emergency funds. Now, what's the difference? This is an account for what happens other than a loss of your monthly or annual income. And this is when your relative, your neighbor, your children, somebody says, can you help me? I need some money. And I want you to touch your survival funds. Go to your emergency funds, okay? How many times have you heard the saying, you know, oh, my goodness, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? We all do it. It happens. So have your emergency funds ready, and you can help out, because you do want to help out if you can, okay? And finally, the most important, I think, is I want you saving at least 5% of everything you make. I don't care where it comes from. 5%. Just put. I'd love you to do more. Don't misunderstand. But the minimum that you should put aside every month, every week, is 5% of everything you make. And I promise you, if you do that, very soon you'll be thanking me for the growth of your savings, and in an emergency, the fact that you're able to get something done. Okay? You know, we're all working toward the same thing, and you may be at a different stage in that, and where we're working for is toward retirement. We're all working hard, those of us who have to work, toward retirement. And if you don't have to work and you got it like that, good for you. But most of us do have to work and keep working until we are either too old to continue to work, or we've got enough money, we don't need to work anymore, or we hit a jackpot, we hit the lottery. Okay, but most of us are going to have to work until we retire. And this caught my eye, because I know we do dream of the retirement, but do you plan to retire here? You may be fascinated to know, and I certainly was, that in 2012, 3.3 million baby boomers were considering retiring abroad, not here in the U.S., but in some other country, some other place. And that number has now passed over 4 million baby boomers. It's one of the highest rates we've ever had in this country. They are actually planning to retire somewhere else. But while many of us dream about it, few do understand the practicalities and some even and difficulties that may be associated with such a goal. My guest knows about that. Sally Hermite, she is a lawyer with more than 20 years of experience advocating for people, 50-plus, and a recent retiree herself. Congratulations. She has released Get Most Out of Retirement, Checklist for Happiness, Health, Purpose, and Financial Security to help Americans achieve a fulfilling retirement. And to get the most out of retirement, she has some easy checklists that can help you figure that out, as well as if you decide to go abroad. Welcome, Sally, to Home and Family Finance, Being Financially Fit. I'd love to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Paul. I'm delighted to be with you.
This is a very important part. Everybody, in some form or fashion, or most of us, are going to retire, and some of us are going to retire abroad. I think there's no question about that. So a number of questions that arise from that, and I think you've really listed them out as well, because your book is all about the steps you need to take or not to take to a fulfilling retirement. What worries people most, Sally, when it comes to the issue of retirement?
I think the primary worry is just, what am I going to do with my day? How am I going to keep busy? How am I going to have purpose after I'm no longer employed? And I think the other primary concern is, am I going to have I saved enough money? Am I going to be able to have the lifestyle that I would like to in retirement when I'm not getting a steady paycheck from my employment?
And I guess part of that, when you start thinking in that way, it really does become a matter of how well you're prepared. You have set yourself up for retirement, right?
Yes. It's really important to do as much planning as you can, not only financially, which is key, but also what is your life going to be like for the next couple of decades? What is it that you want to do? How are you going to give back to your community, however you define that community? How that is, and thinking through what it is that you want your next life to look like.
And did you do that, Sally, for yourself? Is that how you prepared for your retirement?
I did. Actually, I had Plan A. I'm now on probably Plan B or C. But being flexible in having that plan really works out. Mm-hmm. In thinking about retirement, I knew that leaving the Washington metropolitan area would be a great boon, avoiding all that commute and, you know, working for the man who was telling me what I was going to do day in, day out. When I was thinking about retirement, the first thing I knew about me personally is that I still needed to have things to do and a place to go.
You just couldn't sit down and not do anything. You had to make sure that you were entertaining yourself in terms of your mind and your body. My guest is Sally Hermey. She is a retiree. She is an attorney. She's an author. And we're going to talk more about her book, Getting the Most Out of Retirement, and what happens if you plan to go to Russia, wherever you plan to go. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Sally Hermey is my guest, a lawyer with more than 20 years of experience advocating for people 50-plus and helping them understand complex issues. She has recently retired, but before she did, she took the time to write another book about retirement, and she's here talking about that. And she's in some wonderful place in Pennsylvania hanging out. What are you doing, Sally?
I'm having a wonderful time. One of my key plans in my retirement was that I was going to move out of the Washington metropolitan area and all of that traffic and working on somebody else's schedule doing what they wanted me to do. And now fits my personality that I have to have still a schedule. I've been getting up and going to work every day for 4 decades, and that didn't change when I retired. So I rented a little office.
Right.
Which helps me have a place to go, keep my files. I continue to write. I'm working on another book. I am enjoying being with my grandkids and having the opportunity to, you know, take care of my granddaughter when she has an earache last week.
The reason I love this is that what you're saying is that it was another chapter in your life and you decided how it's going to play out. You're doing the things that you want to do at this. Yeah. In other words, the word retirement didn't mean that you had to stop doing everything you wanted to do. It meant that you just had to do it in a different perspective.
Right. Yes. And I call that my identity crisis because for a while, you know, calling me retired is not a description of what I am doing. I'm probably busier now than I was when I was working, but I'm doing what I want to do when I want to do it. And I think that is the key to people who are perhaps looking at retirement with trepidation. If you think about what your passions are, what you enjoy doing, who you want to be with, what you want to say no to, I think you're going to enjoy that retirement as much as I am doing right now.
That is so important, that you are dictating to retirement what it would be. You're not letting retirement dictate to you what you should be. And I think that's where people make the mistake that, oh, there's some kind of role I have to play, or I can't do this and I can't do that. And you're proving you can do what you want to do. Just be prepared for it and have a sense of where you want to go and what you want to do. I think that's so important, including, by the way, those people that decide to walk away from the U.S. And that's not a non-patriotic thing to do. You can retire wherever you want to. Did you give any consideration to retiring in another country?
I really didn't. But in my book, I do talk about some of the things that you need to think about before you make that big move. It can be exciting, but there are, I'm a lawyer. There are some legal things that you have to think about before you pull up roots and swim across the ocean.
My guest is Sally Hermy. She is an attorney by choice. I retire now because of her time. She's done what she needs to do. And her book is about retirement. And part of it is about retiring abroad. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about what you should be careful about, folks. If you are, look, why not? It's a great big world. Go where you want to go. But make sure that you're prepared to do that. And also some of the scams that you ought to look out for. This is Home and Family Finance. We're very pleased to have Sally Hermy with me. We'll come back with more in just a minute. Listening to Home and Family Finance. Are you financially fit is the question that we always ask. And in this case, we're featuring retirement. All of us are headed in that direction. Sally Hermy has gotten there after a very busy life. She now lives in the Valley in Pennsylvania. And her latest book, and this is her second or third book, is about those people that are retiring and plan to do so overseas. And that may be part of your plan. So you said there were some things you ought to be prepared for. What are they, Sally? Tell us what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, my recommendations are that before you actually pull up roots and move abroad, that you try it out for an extended period of time to really get a sense of what it is like.
Ah.
And what is, go be sure that you're there in the worst season when the weather's whatever bad it might be, whether it's the rainy season or the hot season or the cold season.
Right.
Or the dry season, try it out to make sure that it's really what you're going to want to do.
Put your big toe in the water. Stick your big toe in that water and say, okay, does this feel right to me? Because it's okay to decide it's not right for me and move back. But you got to be careful that you don't get yourself locked in legally or otherwise in situations. Is that true?
Right. And another thing to do along that same line, try it out, but have an escape plan. If it doesn't work, be sure that you're not so committed financially or legally that it's going to be hard to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But other things that you need to think about is how you're going to manage your money from a distance. You're still going to have to pay taxes on any U.S. earned income. It really depends on what you're planning on doing in the new country.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to work there? Are you going, what kind of visa do you need? Some countries have requirements about issuing, let's say, a retirement visa. Some countries will require that you have proof of an ongoing income stream so that they are confident that you're not coming there to
lean on their system. They don't want to have to take care of you, right? That's what they're really saying.
Right. And you also need to figure out what you're going to do about your health insurance. Mm-hmm. Medicare does not cover you if you're out of the country for more than 90 days. And even then, it's only for very specific emergency treatment.
Wow.
So what other kind of health insurance is going to be available? There is expat or international coverage that you can get. You also might want to inquire as to what it's going to take for you to, let's say, become eligible for any national insurance coverage in the new country. But you do need to be sure that your health costs, you're going to be able to cover your health costs with or without insurance. Of course, some countries' health care is cheaper. In other countries, it may be less than what we would expect within the United States. Do you have some sort of chronic condition that's going to require you to come back to the state to get the kind of health care that you may need? Going back to finances, one other point. Of course, with online banking, and ATMs and so forth, it's a whole lot easier these days to get U.S. money from into another country.
Mm-hmm.
But there are restrictions on how much money you can have your foreign bank account. If you have more than $10,000 on any one day while you're abroad, you're going to have to report that to U.S. authorities. This all, of course, has to do with the Patriots Act.
You're right.
And
let me stop you because I want people. The book is called "Get the Most Out of Retirement: Checklist for Happiness, Health, Purpose, and Financial Security to Help Americans Achieve a Fulfilling Retirement." Where is your book available, Sally?
It's available on Amazon through the AARP bookstore and through the American Bar Association bookstore.
All right. Just remember, Sally, H-U-R-M-E, is the author of that book. Sally, thanks for being with us. A full education here, and there's a lot to know. Please come back and see us again, would you?
Thank you.
You bet. We'll be right back with more, folks. Stay where you are.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, and speaking of finance, more and more women are joining the job corps, wherever it might be across these great United States. They may have had children early. Now the kids are big enough that they feel comfortable in leaving the house and doing what they want to do with their lives, making money. And so they join the workforce, and in very, very often, their income is as important as the husband or their partner. But what is the impact on that lady? How difficult is it to not only have gone through raising a family with the kids always in the background of thought, and now out doing another job and doing it, and now having the responsibility of meeting a new boss and doing a different thing? How does that age one? This is something that I think is important to consider. And Dr. Christine Horner has written a book that is very interesting in terms of, I think, kind of looking down that lane and understanding, the importance of radiant health and ageless beauty and how to maintain that. And she joins us now. She says there are four fatal mistakes that women make after age 40. Wow, four, jeepers, and fatal? Christine Horner, nice to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks so much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
My wife's ear is tuned to the radio.
All right.
Am I about to die? What's going on here? Now, but what is? Isn't that? That's a lot of pressure, isn't it?
Well, you know, as you were just mentioning, it's you know, the 40s, you know, used to be a time where we thought you were kind of over the hill. And now it's, you know, people are, you know, starting careers. They've, you know, they're working with their families. I mean, most of the time you've got kids that are, you know, still at home or, you know, college and so forth. And so you end up being incredibly busy in your 40s. That's pretty normal. And so it's also normal for women to kind of put their health on the back burner. And a lot of times, you know, women think that they're still invincible like they were in their 20s and their 30s. But what research shows is that it's really important what you do in your 40s as far as affecting your health for the rest of your life. So it's very important to pay attention. And there's my messages are always really simple things that you can do, simple practical things that you can do that can dramatically impact your health.
And that's the point here. Age 40, this is not old. But when you've raised kids, maybe as you said, you're getting married or married again, is that more pressure on a woman than is on her male counterpart? You know, a man doesn't think about the babies or raising the kids or getting to school. You know, some, but
mass generalizations. I mean, there are some that do, but in general, you know, you're right. I mean, it still turns out when we look at the surveys and everything that women are taking on much more responsibilities by, you know, not only working outside of the house, but they're also taking on the vast majority of the responsibilities of home and running the household and taking care of the kids. So there is a huge amount of pressure on women, and you know, most women feel like they just have no time to themselves, you know, during that time.
Yeah. And the fatal mistakes in this, is this what builds up? What are these four fatal mistakes? Let's go through them so they understand.
Sure. Well, the first one is neglecting heart health. So, you know, there's a misconception a lot of women feel like they're not really at risk for heart disease, that it's a man's disease. But the truth is that heart disease is the number one killer of women. And we hear so much about breast cancer, which is important, but actually heart disease kills 10 times more women every year than what breast cancer does. So it's super important to be aware of that and also know that there's some simple things that you can do that can significantly lower your risk of developing heart problems. And, of course, smoking is one of the, you know, major culprits. And
right.
So if you smoke, you definitely want to quit that. Eating smarter. So, you know, if you do surveys on people, what do they normally eat? You know, here in the United States, it should not be shocking that the response is the vast majority of people are eating fast foods. And we know that these foods are not good for us. They're packed full of, you know, different kinds of preservatives and all sorts of artificial chemicals and things. And so what they find is that it really increases our risk of many different kinds of diseases, including heart disease. So really favoring plants has, you know, been shown to be the healthiest types of foods that you can consume, organically grown, whole, you know, plants, vegetables, fruits, nuts,
seeds. I got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've got heart, the possibility for taking care of your health and eating properly. Those are at least two of the mistakes,
of course,
right?
Exercising, you know, we know that that's super important too.
Right.
And then keeping your weight down is also, you know, very important too. And then there's a couple of really simple things that you can do. Taking supplements, I always think, because people are like, oh, it's so hard to change my diet and lifestyle. But I always think it's good to start with some nutritional supplements because they can make a big difference. And for instance, vitamin D is something that we know that is low in 80% of people in the United States, and vitamin D is absolutely crucial for the normal physiology of every cell. And if it's low, there's an increase in all sorts of different kinds of chronic diseases, from multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and cancers to heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So getting your vitamin D levels up so that they're therapeutic is super important. You got to get your levels checked for that. And then also taking omega-3 fatty acids. So that's our healthiest type of fat. Used to be we villainized fat, but in fact, we need a lot of fat. Our bodies or use fat for every cell membrane is made out of fat, our brains are coated with fat, our hormones are made out of fat. So very important to get the good kinds of fats in, and omega-3 fatty acids are considered the healthiest ones, and they also have some direct effects at helping to lower heart disease.
All right, Dr. Christine Horner is my guest. We're talking to you. Yes, lady, you who are a superwoman, in order to stay healthy and to take care of the things that you decided you want to deal with, you got to take care of yourself. And that's Christine's message, no question. When we come back, we'll get into more specifics on that and talk about ways that you can be sure that you live a long life and are able to do what you want to do. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And natural health expert Dr. Christine Horner, author of Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, says there isn't just one cause of aging, but rather many factors that simultaneously contribute to the overall aging process. She says so. The silver lining is that we all have tremendous influence on our own health and longevity. Do most of us take advantage of the fact that we control what happens to us from the standpoint of aging?
That's why I'm out there writing and teaching about it, because most people don't pay attention until they have some health crisis. So it's a much better thing to be preemptive.
Yeah, okay, and I get that. Yeah, and you've talked about heart health, you've talked about diet. You also say mismanagement of menopause. Now we're talking specifically to women, men, but pay attention to this. How does mismanagement of menopause weigh in here, doctor?
Well, you know, there's an interesting phenomenon in this country, and that is that girls are going through puberty at a younger and younger age. And now the average age is about 10, whereas around the world it's about 16 to 17. And there's all sorts of health problems that are associated with that. We think it probably has to do with growth factors and things, you know, in our foods and personal care products, you know, things that mimic estrogen. But one of the other phenomenons that is kind of a fallout of this is that girls who start their periods early have a tendency to go through menopause early. So we're seeing people coming up with some of these menopausal symptoms like hot flashes mm-hmm. and fatigue and irritability and, you know, night sweats and those kinds of things early, like in the 30s or, you know, even in the 40s. And, you know, I was a breast surgeon, and one of my specialties is breast cancer. And so we found out that giving women hormone replacement therapy is really a bad idea. There was actually a study that came out yesterday, you know, talking about that too, where it's just mm-hmm. like, boy, it does not reduce any of the chronic diseases it was said to do. And in fact, what increases the risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, heart disease, blood clots, I mean, really bad. So when you start having some of these symptoms, you know, I really do not recommend that you go to your doctor and get started on hormone replacement therapy. Even bioidentical hormones haven't been, you know, proven to be safe. Instead, you know, it's one of those things where you need to kind of rebalance your body with a, you know, diet and lifestyle and everything. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of really great alternatives to hormone replacement therapy that are perfectly safe. So one example is a formula called Relizen, R-E-L-I-Z-E-N. I just found out about it a few months ago, but it's made from flowers from Sweden, and it's actually the number one hot flash formula in France. They've used it in Europe for about 15 years, but just came to this country. And the amazing thing with this particular formula is they've researched it like you would a pharmaceutical medication. Mm-hmm. So it's gone through this very rigorous, you know, research, double-blinded, placebo-controlled studies, and they found that it's very effective for all those menopausal symptoms from hot flashes to fatigue and irritability and, you know, sleep disturbances. And the research is so good on it now that there's actually over 2,000 OBGYNs in this country that are now recommending it for their patients, which is a good thing.
Any downsides, Doc?
Absolutely no side effects.
No downsides? No downsides?
No downsides. So they tested it against the placebo to see if there was any, you know, side effects with it, and they didn't find any. So, you know, like I said, super safe and definitely, you know, confirmed by research. Right. There's other, like in other cultures, they've had plants that they've used for thousands of years. Like in South America, they use a plant called maca, which is considered a superfood, but it also is balances hormones and, you know, doesn't work hormonally, so it doesn't increase the risk of breast cancer. Black cohosh is something the Native Americans used. Flax seeds is another one that's a superfood, and it's known to help to balance hormones as well. So lots of alternatives that are safe, you know, and very effective and research-based.
Now, are all of these tips found in your new book, Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty?
Sure, you bet. Yeah, you bet there is. So what I did with my book was I really tried to focus on health rather than disease. And so the book is really about everything that you need to do in order to have extraordinary health and longevity. And it's not just food. It's not just taking supplements. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, different things that are super important in lifestyle and sleeping at the proper times, exercising, you know, every day, and actually our emotions play a huge role in our health as well. And then at the end of the book, what I did was I have like an appendix, basically, and I go through all the different kind of chronic diseases that are so common, including the menopause and heart disease and so forth, and then give some specific recommendations for those conditions, too, to help to reverse them.
What irks you most about women's health care today? What needs to be done? I mean, I hear you, and it's, you know, and I can understand it, meaning that if other women hear what you're saying, it'll, you know, they can understand this. And I'm not saying that I'm the brightest bulb that ever shined, but I'm just saying that if I can understand it, they can understand. But they have to hear it first. How do we hear this? How do we make people hear? How do we make women hear what is good for them? What can be causing problems? What the four concerns that you have, the four fatal mistakes? I mean, this is important stuff, and yet I dare say I don't think enough women are hearing you.
Well, you know, I'm out there on the road all the time doing lots of television interviews and radio interviews like this, got my own radio show and writing books and so forth. So, you know, that's what we do. And I'm not by myself. There's a number of
I understand that. Christine, I do understand. What I'm suggesting to you here collectively, all of the people that are doing what you're trying to do and others, is that enough noise here that makes people hear this, or do we need to do more?
You know, it keeps increasing. I mean, when I first started doing this 20 years ago, most people didn't know anything, you know, about this and hadn't heard anything about natural health. And we got, you know, Dr. Oz and people like that. So it's much more of a part of the culture. Most people have, you know, heard of it. And I do tons of speaking engagements, you know, too. So, you know, I think the information is getting out there. Motivating people is a difficulty. And like I said, a lot of people, they don't start making changes until they have a health crisis. It's just kind of the nature of being a human being.
Yeah.
But, again, there's just, you know, getting this information out where there's some simple things and you can be more conscious is super important.
Well, we're doing our part here, or at least we're trying to with you, Christine. And we thank you for you doing your part in terms of writing this book and taking the time to join us here on the program. When we come back, we'll talk about the administration, the policies. Are they good for women's health? Are they good for everybody's health? This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listen to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. My guest is Christine Horner. She is a doctor by choice and an author as well. She's written a new book as it relates to women and the things that they should know for their good health as it relates to aging and living. Christine, it's very interesting to talk to you because you have the passion for what you do and you can feel that. And I know this, that you have kept your eye on what's happening here in Washington when we deal with the future of women's health care. Under the administration, do you see bright spots? How does that look to you?
Well, I would say, some of the programs, you know, that we've had definitely could be at risk here. And you know, listening and reading, you know, from the experts and everything. I mean, there's some predictions that maybe some of the screenings that we've had, like mammograms or pap smears or, you know, birth control benefits and a lot of the insurance coverage that we have, we may not have that. And you could think, oh, come on, that's never going to happen. Of course, we're going to be covering those things. Well, back in the early 1990s, when I was working as a plastic surgeon, I got a letter from the insurance company saying, we're not going to pay for breast reconstruction on your 32-year-old patient because it's on an organ with no function.
Wow.
I was like,
wow.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So insurance companies stopped paying for breast reconstruction following mastectomy. To me, you know, just decided they were going to do that. Now, who would ever think that that could happen? Now, I got really mad, and so I organized a national campaign to pass legislation to make it mandatory that insurance companies pay for breast reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long project, 5 years, met with Bill Clinton and with Hillary multiple times, and through some divine intervention, the bill actually passed. So now it is a federal law.
Congratulations. Yes, it did pass. We read about your history and working on that. But I think your activity and your activism is a wonderful suggestion to other folks, is not to let somebody else determine, you know, what your health care is going to be. We all have to be active and to do something, right?
We definitely have to do that, and I also think it's another, you know, huge message about you can't count on our government or our health insurance that's going to take care of our health. And most of the time, they don't take care of our health. They're taking care of, you know, diseases that we have. So we really have to take personal responsibility for our health and educate yourself, read books, you know, and find out about some of these things that you can do in order to really prevent any ill health from happening. That's your best bet, you know, to do that.
Right.
But it really is, you know, personal responsibility, and you just can't count on having all the benefits that you've had in the past.
And the House just passed the bill that people are taking a close look at, and not everybody is finding it to their liking, that the possibilities are there are a few things from the standpoint of health that can be missing unless people get active you know, and ask questions and say, hey, we want this or we want that.
Yep. I mean, it takes a tremendous amount of education, and I know it's not real fun to, you know, be able to decipher through all that stuff, but, you know, we really do need to take active roles and, you know, take a stand, and then also, you know, really put a lot of work into, you know, our own health to protect it so that hopefully, you know, it becomes a non-issue, for you. Yeah.
What's the first step that someone who is concerned, from your point of view, should do in terms of being active and concerned about their, and we're talking specifically about women now, what's the first thing they should do here?
Well, I mean, as far as taking care of their own personal health, they should buy my book, right?
Radiant
Health, Ageless Beauty. Everything that they should know, you know, in order to have extraordinary health and longevity. And, of course, these are things that they can do for the rest of their family and their children and, you know, to help to protect them the most. And so that's the most important thing. And, you know, as I said, there's the whole way that my style of writing with this is to come up with things that are research-based, but really simple things that you can do that it can have a really big impact.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. And the book, of course, is called Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, and it can be found at better bookstores everywhere. I think that's a safe
statement. Sure, and Amazon. And if you want an autographed copy, you can get it on my website, which is drchristinehorner.com.
Yeah, wow. Very active. Well, Dr. Horner, I can't thank you enough for taking time. I know it's a busy schedule, you know, it's worth getting out there and speaking to everybody that you can, especially when the cause is what you believe in. And I know you believe in this, as do I. So thank you for taking time to join me here on Home and Family Finance. And come back and see us again soon, would you?
Sure.
Okay. It'll be great to have you back on. And let's see where things go in the next 6 months. Okay, folks, that's it for this week. What a pleasure to have you here. I hope we've said something or talked about something that is important to you. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.